Has the Fed lost control? During the summer, we pondered whether the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield would reach between 4 and 4.5% before the end of the year. Back then, the 10-year yield was at a low of 3.2%, making 4 the easier bet. If you had suggested 5%, you would have been laughed out of the room. And yet, here we are. The 10-year yield has surged to near 5%. It's a level not seen since 2007, at a time when the iPhone had just been introduced. And we still rented DVDs on Friday nights. Why does it matter? Well, the latest research from Morgan Stanley suggests that the escalation in yields since the last rate hike by the Federal Reserve essentially translates into 3 separate 25 basis point hikes for the economy. But how might this shape the tactics of the Federal Reserve and the Bank of Canada on the potential for any further rate increases? I'm Philip Peterson, Chief Investment Strategist at IG Wealth Management. Join me each week as we discuss the trends dominating the investment landscape. It's the week of October 23rd, so listen on as we navigate the living market. The true culprit behind the 10-year rate's ascent is not the one you would expect. Contrary to popular belief, the 10-year yield's upward trajectory isn't entirely attributable to anticipated Fed tightening or an inflation surge. Several indicators attest to this. For one, inflation break-even rates have remained consistent. Break-even rates are simply the difference in yield between a normal bond and an inflation-adjusted bond. The break-even is basically the best proxy we have for the market's inflation expectations on a go-forward basis. It's the term premium that has seen an uptick. Even Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve, has acknowledged this in his latest speech. This means that this time, not only nominal rates are moving up to catch up with inflation, but the real rate of interest is increasing as well. People can now expect returns above inflation for their fixed income assets. While this sounds like good news, we've discussed in previous podcasts the potential negative impacts this can have on equity market valuations. So why are rates climbing? We can point fingers at fiscal policies or lay the blame on quantitative tightening. Foreign sellers are offloading treasuries. They have also come under scrutiny. And then there are those who highlight specific economic data, be it job opening reports, retail sales, or something else, indicating a stronger than expected economy to rationalize the move. On certain days, there's an alignment between rates and specific economic updates, offering a semblance of clarity. However, more often than not, the magnitudes of these rate fluctuations remain enigmatic. The fact is that a myriad of factors are at play. But as of now, the Fed seems almost excluded from these influential factors. And just 6 months ago, it was the central catalyst. The Fed is once again caught between a rock and a hard place. On one hand, they don't want to hike rates and trigger a recession moving into 2024. On the other, they sure don't want to slash them either. And markets are beginning to come to terms with this standoff. This delicate balance becomes even more precarious as we edge closer to an election year. In the name of preserving its apolitical stance, the Fed is wary of any moves that might spark a recession or seem as influence towards the economy in one way or another that might favor one candidate or another. History serves as a stark reminder here, evoking memories of the turbulent relationship between the Fed and then-President George H.W. Bush in the early 90s. Coming into the election, Bush was wildly popular and had high approval ratings. But Alan Greenspan's aggressive rate increases in 1989 and 1990 during an already weak economy caused the U.S. to weaken so much that Bush became the scapegoat and lost the 1992 election. The last thing the Fed wants is to be perceived as the entity that cost Joe Biden his re-election campaign, especially given his fragility in recent polls. As 2024 approaches, the Federal Reserve's dominance over financial narratives seems to be waning. Beware, though, it will always hold significance. Don't fight the Fed is a model that will live on, but the notion it can always put the lid on rates across the curve if it wants to, that is not quite as certain as it once was, thanks in part to the bond vigilantes who are awakening from their very long slumber. I'm Philip Peterson, and this has been The Living Market. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate it or share it with colleagues and friends. It will help other like-minded individuals find us. Thanks for listening.
The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purpose, and IG Wealth Management is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions. Commissions, fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.